Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Socialist Barista Podcast. We're keeping our streak going this season with having some really wicked guests on, and they're going to chat with us about coffee and their life and all their things going on. And this week we have the one and only Emily Bryant joining us. We've also got an almost full house of hosts. It's me, Trey, and we do not have Parker, unfortunately. He's off doing his thing.
So lame.
Anyways, how y'all doing? What's up?
I'm pretty good, personally. I'm feeling good.
Trey, what about you? You're a businessman.
I'm a businessman. You can tell by the polo I'm wearing.
Oh, yes.
It's a non-sweat polo, so when I'm sweating out there with my coffee cart, nobody knows that I'm sweating.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm
doing pretty well. I don't know. I feel good. I got into a bike accident the other day, but I feel good.
I'm fine.
Also,
I'm fine.
The best podcasting voice I've ever heard. I'm fine. Everybody shut up. I'm fine.
I'm glad you're okay.
Let's not talk about it.
Yeah.
Trey, what's your deal?
I got a little bump.
Oh, bump. I can see it. Oh, that's
you can
your
see
chin.
It. It's there.
Was it?
And this is my hand.
Accident or like a collision? What happened?
Okay, so my friend came into town and we went and had to do a photo shoot for Barista Magazine, which is exciting.
So cool.
Releasing like some
That's
latte
cool.
art photos in there eventually. Oh, maybe I can't say that. Maybe I can. They didn't make me sign an NDA. So I had these cups from Cruve that haven't released yet, but they are awesome and they're coming out today, I think. Whoa. Anyway, I had these with me and I've been biking a lot in the city. I put them on the front carriage of my bike. It was an electric bike, and I was driving down the city with my friend at like 10 p.m. going to this cocktail bar, and then the strap on the bike breaks off, the box flies up and in front of my tire, and I fly over the bike, and then I caught the ground with my face. It was good.
Oh, no.
Specifically your chin.
Okay, this is 1 week ago. I'm fine. Look, my hand got it bad, too, if you want to see, but I'm okay.
I'm glad you're okay. You need your hands because you got to pour all that beautiful latte art, you know?
Exactly.
I don't need this hand, the other one, yeah. But I was upset because I was going to shoot some videos and then I couldn't do it because I had a busted up face. I guess I could have done it, but I didn't.
You know,
I don't want to bleed on camera.
This makes me think of something.
Actually.
This makes me think of something. That really grinds my burrs that happened to you, Emily. And you know what else grinds my burrs?
What else
is when you're starting a company, say a coffee cart, right? Or something, coffee shop, a business. And I love creative thoughts. I love it. I love all creative input. It's great. And I have a few select people that I have for that I talk to all the time, get their opinions, and it's awesome. But then there's every single other person in the world that always says, you know what you should do?
You know what you
And you know what
do?
You can do with that comment? You can take that little comment, hold it in your hand, real light, put it in your pocket, and save it. Save it for a rainy day when I say, like, man, I really am trying to figure out what else I should do. Or, man, I'm looking to know what I should do. Then, you know, reach in your pocket, pull it out, and let me know. But there's a lot of, when you have a cart and I'm in one location, and they're like, you know what you should do? You should take that cart to... And I'm like, I'm going to stop you right there. I'm not trying to go everywhere with this thing right now. And then, you know, it's just funny. Like, you know what you should do? No, I don't. I'm out of my mind right now. But no, I love creative thoughts and stuff. But like over the last like week of being open, there's been a lot of, you know what you should do? And I'm like, clearly, I could be making millions of other dollars somewhere else. But I don't care about pinching pennies right now. I care about solid community, solid coffee. I feel like I achieve it every day. So, but yeah, so many people are like, you know how you can make some more money? I'm like, well, yeah, not working in coffee. That's for dang sure.
Why couldn't you do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what grinds my burrs, Trey. Tell me what grinds your burrs.
What grinds my burrs?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm going to say, what grinds my burrs is people not realizing that the most important part of what you do most of the time is people. like business owners not realizing that. Okay, if you ever watch The Walking Dead, there's this really bad guy named Negan, and his whole philosophy, like, he's not like a kind of bad guy that's like, I'm just going to kill everybody. He's the kind of bad guy that's like, I'm going to make everybody do what I tell them, because people are the foundation of, you know, what he's trying to build or whatever, because you need people to operate in the world. Like, if you're a business owner, your people that work for you are the most important thing that keeps the business going, unless you're doing it all by yourself. But also, if you're a barista and, you know, you just hate the people that come in, well, the people that come in are the ones that give you a job. So people are also important in that respect. Now, are there buttholes that come to the shop? Yeah. Are there buttholes that work for you? Yeah. But people are the foundation. I just saw something recently. I saw a business owner in a podcast talking about their success and blah, 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 and everything. And not once did they ever mention, like, oh, also we have awesome people that have helped us get to where we're going. I mean, like, it's like, yeah, the owner is an important part. They set the vision. They set part of the foundation. But the people that they bring onto the team to make it go, I don't know. Just this needs some love. The people need some love. That's just, it's been on my mind.
Credit
it's
to not, the people.
It's not a solid thought yet. I'm still thinking about it, but that's where I'm at with my abstract thought in my head.
Wow.
Drowns my birds.
That sounded like some birds being, I could hear it. Consistent. Yeah, I could hear like a peak grinder. Just, you know what I'm saying? Peak level.
Oh, yeah.
Nick, what grinds your birds?
Something I've noticed, like, it happened to me this week, and it's not the first time that it's happened. You have a free moment. This is cafe setting. You're working. Any setting. If you're working, customer service, your day is busy. Lots of things going on, whether it be side tasks or serving customers. And you just take a moment, just one moment, and you're just like, I'm going to sip my coffee and just breathe. And a customer has the audacity to come in and say, oh, you know, you look bored. Let me give you something to do. How do you know that I'm bored right now? Actually, I just need a moment. Or, oh, you look slow today. Well, you know what? You didn't see the lineup we had 30 minutes ago. Like, you cannot tell me how my whole day is going based on this 2 seconds that you're in here.
Woo!
Oh,
it's getting hot in Canada. It's getting hot. Oh, man.
I don't know. Like, also, that's just like the superiority thing that they have to say, like, no, let me give you something to do. Like, you're the one who's paying me. No.
You should just look up Stone Face and be like, I'm meditating.
Yeah. I'm recovering, actually, from the rush we just had. Please give me a moment and come back in 5 minutes.
That is a hot take.
It's a hot take. Just be like, moment of silence. Everyone, moment
you're
of
like,
silence.
I'm praying. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not bored.
And prayer done. What can I get for you?
Amen. Yeah. All right.
So the next time somebody does that to you, just go, okay, prayer done. What can I get for you today?
Yeah. Sorry, I was praying for you.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness.
What did I walk in on?
Emily, what grinds your burrs?
Tell us something that bugs you.
Oh, man. Oh, what bugs me?
Be anything. Anyone,
I'm like, drawing
anything.
A blank. I hate people, and I love to tell people how to move their coffee stands, and they look bored. So I don't know. I don't know if I fit in this crowd.
It's all coming together.
Something that bothers me, I guess, grinds my ears. Everyone in the world has probably said it, but I hate the phrase. I'm such a diva latte artist because I'm going to talk about latte art, but I hate, it should taste good. Have you ever had that when you like pour something and you'd be like, oh, it's kind of pretty. And they'd be like, well, what matters is that it tastes good. My thing is like, yeah, it should taste good. Hopefully it tastes good. That's the idea.
Yeah.
I don't know where the injection that it doesn't taste good came from.
Like, they're assuming it's...
Does that make sense? Like, every time I hear it, I'm kind of like, what do you think this is? Like, I see... So I guess it's kind of weird because I see latte art as kind of like a garnish. So that would just be like, that would be like getting a burger and being like, well, it better taste good. Which people still
nice
do.
Nice plating, but, yeah, but kinda, I don't know if this food is actually going
to taste good. Yeah, that one drives me crazy. And also people that don't use turn signals when I'm biking around the city.
I use turn signals when I back up, and I didn't realize that until my girlfriend told me. She was like, why did you put on your turn signal to back up? And I go, I think it's just a habit. Like, I'm for some reason, I just have to communicate to the person behind me, like, hey, I'm backing out that way. Like, you know?
I use turn signals when I'm walking, just so people know.
Exactly. What's my deal with that? Yeah. When I'm walking, I'm like, I'm about to come over here.
Watch out.
Watch out. The noise.
Actually, at work, I'm always doing like the like backing up, like beep beep beep. Everyone watch
Nick,
out.
You would do that. You would do that at work. You're a person that beeps when you back up. That's 100% true.
I'm gonna start doing that with robot sounds, like grinding.
Yes. Well, Emily, I will say.
Do you guys make weird sounds at work?
Obviously.
Sometimes. Just on Tuesdays.
I will say this.
Sometimes when I'm like flicking the. Go ahead.
I'll get this in before we get into your latte art world. But when I explain and teach baristas how to do a Rosetta, the big thing I always tell them is like, you want to, when you wiggle, you want to make you're making quick movements. You don't want to sit there and wiggle for 100 years. Right. So just think about wiggle, 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 wiggle. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like from the LMFAO song. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Yeah.
It's good.
That simple.
You never showed me that.
It's good. I love a comparison. I often use comparisons in my lectures. Yeah. It's pretty great. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. That's a very fast BPM for wiggling, though. I'm a slow kind of wiggler. This is a lot of the word wiggle.
Slow wiggler here. Y'all heard it here first on the social.
Yeah, yeah. I like to wiggle real slow. Like... Yeah, like 3 rotations every second.
Wow.
Well, not 3 every second. 3 every 3 seconds. There you go. Well,
let me tell you guys, if you're listening to this and you're hearing Emily explain how she likes to wiggle the pitcher and making beautiful latte art, and you're like, I don't know. I don't think that would look good. Or I don't think it. Well, you need to go on Instagram right now. Check out M. Doug Grimm, EMSTAGRIM on Instagram.
EMSTAGRIM.
Some of the most beautiful latte art. I mean, because we're not just talking to anybody. We're talking to a world latte art champion. I mean, pretty legit as far as I could tell.
Fresh.
You know, so, you know, here we are talking to you, but... What is your story? How the heck did you even get into coffee? Tell us your, we describe it as a single origin story.
Oh, I like that. I was single at the time. Actually, I wasn't. Whoa. So how I got into coffee, a long, long time ago, I used to live in a treehouse in Texas. And I lived there for 3 years.
That's awesome.
In my early, early 20s on Sequitur. And that's where I learned to like slow wiggles. It was good. No. Oh, no. My battery's running low. Anyway, we'll fix that really quick.
It's all right.
Yeah. So I was living in a treehouse out in Texas. And my partner at the time wanted to move to Houston. We weren't living in Houston. We were living outside of it in the woods. And so we decided to go down and explore Houston. And I got a job as a barista, and I really loathed it. I hated it. I did not want to make coffee. I was like, nobody ever asked me what I want to do. And I needed a job because before we were just driving artists in the trees doing kind of nothing. As soon as I got this coffee job, we broke up. This was my fiance. And it was like a 5-year-long relationship. And they fired me from my first job because they said I wasn't into coffee enough. Sons of bitches. Sorry, I cursed. Nothing sparks a fire like being told you can't do something. And then I got this job at a restaurant. I'm gonna plug in my computer. What the fuck?
It's all good.
Sorry, y'all. Anyway, fatality, really. I was behind the bar, not interacting with people. And that was where I kind of taught myself coffee. And then I got poached by the specialty shop. And that was where I really developed any kind of real understanding of coffee, other than just trying to figure it out behind a bar. This was back when James Hoffman released his first, like, French press video.
Yeah.
It was, like, a little while ago. And then I worked in coffee for many, many years.
So you literally hated coffee. Like, you hated being a barista, and then
I hated the idea.
Yeah. I love that because I feel like most people are, like, the opposite. Like, they're just like, I love coffee. I want to get all in. And you're just like, this is dumb.
No, I didn't like it at first. Yeah. And I didn't like it about 4 years in either. I started to become very jaded before I actually won my competition. And I just felt like people were in it for weird reasons at the time. And I was just kind of like over the bullshit. It was kind of crazy. And, you know, anyway, I'm rambling. But yeah, I didn't like coffee at first, more just because it wasn't really what I wanted to do at the time. I just didn't want to really do anything, but especially not help people serve coffee that I knew nothing about. It made me feel like I was in a bougie neighborhood. Everyone was ungrateful.
Yeah.
But the pastries were so good, and I got to take them home, and I remember that. I still take pastries home, but, like, that was the first time, and I was like, perks, work perks.
There you go. Yeah, I worked.
Coffee and pastries.
Yeah, I worked at a coffee shop with good pastries once. I hated the coffee shop, but the pastries were pretty good. They had these really good waffles. But, you know, it's like, it's the little things, you know, that get you through the fire. So what would you say, I mean, like, kind of what was the switch? Like, what kind of turned that on its head to make you, like, you know, I mean, looking at you now, it's like, I wouldn't even, like, I almost couldn't believe that you didn't love coffee when you got into it. So, like, what kind of really made that switch for you?
I'm a train wreck. I don't know. I don't remember. Actually, yes. Here we go. It all comes together. I haven't thought about this in years, but I remember when I first got poached from that restaurant job, I really started to get into it. I had a friend who was like a mentor, but he was younger than me, which was weird. And I just really started to follow his path in coffee, and I wanted to, you know, do really well. And so I would go and cup coffees with the roasters in our roastery, and I would just try to learn everything I could. And I realized I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
And that continued for years and years and years, and it happens to this day. But it was kind of a slow burn. I wouldn't say it was an overnight switch. I would say it was I was following a culture, which I think a lot of us do. After we develop a taste for coffee, we end up developing an interest in the culture and the people. And that's why you see the same people at all the events, all the same throwdowns. You are being indoctrinated into a family, essentially. Yeah. You just don't know what's happening. And if you didn't want it to happen, it's kind of messed up. It's like, damn it, you made me love you.
Yeah. I think that's something I've enjoyed as I've kind of, like, I've not had the opportunity yet to get to go to some of these cool competitions and conferences just because by the time I really got into the scene, COVID happened pretty much. So it's just been like crazy. But I have enjoyed the aspect. I've, like, seen you and a lot of the other just really talented, you know, latte artists out there. And, like, I kind of see, like, the community and the camaraderie and also the enjoyment of seeing each other do really well and, like, just keep, you know, pushing it to what it is. I think it's been really cool to watch.
Dude, you got to go to a real competition. It's so cool.
Tell me about it.
Everyone's just there, like, giving you shark eyes, and they're patting people on the back, and they're rooting for you. They're booing you. Never been booed yet. Hopefully never. It's fun. It's good. It's a real game.
What do you have to do to deserve a boo?
I don't know, like, rub Chris DeFerio's head or something. I'm kidding. Mm. He's a great guy. He's a very rubbable head. Rubbable head. Yeah. I think about it every time I go to Coffee Fest. This is probably going to be the last one I attend now after saying that.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, no. That's so funny.
I'm joking. And if he listens to this, he knows I'm joking.
Yeah, he did a live video the other day and was like, oh, Socialist Barista is here, like another coffee podcaster. And I was like, he knows I exist. I was like, oh my gosh.
That's great. He's a great person.
I mean, I think if he's still in Louisville, I mean, he's pretty much just down the street from me, but not had the opportunity yet. Oh, yeah, and
you should go say hi to him.
I know, I should just pop over.
You should, like find his address.
Hey, Chris, I'm in Louisville.
Hey,
where do you live?
I got a sixer. You want to talk and rub heads?
I got a sixer.
Like,
oh, my gosh. I got a dirty 30 and only one night in Louisville.
Oh, my gosh.
I got this shirt. You can't see the sweat.
Yeah, I got this non-sweat seeing shirt
that
on.
That was a callback for a part that wasn't recorded in the podcast. That was great.
Okay.
I forgot it wasn't recorded. Now it's really awkward for our listeners to be like, I don't understand.
No, it's great. There's a shirt that makes you not visibly sweaty, but you can still be sweaty for everyone listening. You can still be sweaty.
Thread Academy. Check them out.
Hey.
Big believer.
So,
anyways.
You should all go, though.
I found a TikTok, and I feel like everyone's seen it. But I feel like it's really applicable to having Emily on the show right now. And we should all watch it together and discuss what it could mean for our future and our possible endangerment. Can we describe it for the listeners so that they didn't see it? It is
hot in my seat right now.
Robot barista pouring some Rosetta in a drink.
Robarista.
It's not the heart anymore. It's advanced. They're getting better.
They've grown smarter.
It's got wiggles.
It can wiggle.
They're pretty fast. They're
soon
fast
you'll be able to flirt with them.
Needs to be on the slow wiggles.
They'll be giving you free drinks just for smiling at them in no time.
Yeah, let's hash it out.
Need those wiggles like a pendulum.
What does this mean for us?
No coffee shop's ever going to have enough money to do that. That's what it means.
Probably true, actually.
I mean,
that's
I think
like a gimmick.
Yeah, I've seen it steam, and then I've seen one that pours automatically as well. And it's funny because
I feel like the steaming. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say I feel like the steaming. Cool. Like if there's a machine that can steam your milk to almost perfection, that's do whatever. Coffee shops affording that after affording a $26,000 espresso machine. Maybe not as much, but I mean, I think a robot on
hot
carrots
is
cool. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. What if it's offered to open and this is what they buy? Is Roborista no staff, just as robot?
Yo,
well,
what
I personally
robots,
go to coffee
there?
Shops for human interaction, but I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
I might not be the
hello.
Person. Yeah,
did you like a fast wiggle, Rosetta?
Beep boop coffee, ba ba boop boop. They say espresso.
Fine.
I would love if those robots would just come in the morning, and they're just like, "Who the messed up the coffee shop the night before?" But they do it. Why would anyone do this? There's no cups. Where are the cups?
Oh my god!
Who did it? Restock lids. Boo, bobby, beep.
I just feel like, can you imagine the iPad? And the robot get into arguments because the iPad makes all the orders and then orders all the equipment. So if the robot in the morning is just like, iPad, where are my cups?
Dude,
and then, the iPad's an OG. Yeah, the iPad's been there. It's OG. The robot just wants to pour latte art. It doesn't even learn how to pull a shot.
Gosh.
What the fudge?
Sounds like some people I know.
I feel like I just got the idea for a really good satire skit with just robots taking over the coffee industry.
A sitcom, a whole show.
Five seasons at least.
60 episodes right now.
Oh my god. Ridiculous.
That's good. Actually approached me. I was in Seattle once and we were at this coffee expo and they were like, "Hey, we'd love to get some sensors on your hands and help design this robot that can pour latte art." And I was like, "Yeah, that sounds cool," but really I was like, "No, you're never getting these hands,
never getting my
no.
sensor hands." Well, speaking of your sensor hands,
they'll break me.
I was gonna say, we have some interview questions for you, and one of the things that we were thinking about is you know, baristas, they do latte art. Some have been doing latte art for 5 years, 7 years, 1 month. But for you, what was the point that you knew you were good enough to compete?
Oh, yeah. I guess, I don't know. Well, yeah. Who's to say? I didn't prioritize latte art at first, if that makes any sense. Like, at first I was really prioritizing getting the coffee to taste good and be good. Then once I started liking that, I got into latte art, and I didn't compete in any throwdowns for an entire year. And then I competed in one throwdown at my one-year anniversary of coffee, and I won that throwdown. It's actually funny. I had a boss who, not a boss, but a really rude coworker who was like, "Emily, you know why I'm better at latte art than you? Because I've been doing it longer." And then we went up against each other in the finals, and I beat him. And I was like, "Look, you know why I'm better at latte art than you? Because it's just damn. And I just won all this money." It was good. It was a good night. And then I flew to San Francisco immediately after that. And I saw this video. I think it was like Lance Hedrick who posted it a long, long time ago. He was like a year ahead of me in coffee. And he had this type of like flow that was really beautiful in the cup. The video is no longer around, but it just made a lot click for me at the time. And so when I got back from San Francisco, I implemented that flow, which I have since completely changed in a completely different way that I achieved that flow. But it unlocks the idea of flow from like milk from a pitcher and how to move it in coffee to make things happen. And after I started getting more comfortable with that concept and how to even drop into a cup, which specifically is like, how do you start a pour rather than just adding the milk at the beginning? How do you, where do you go? Where do you start? How heavy do you push? How do you push? I developed a style after that. And then I was able to compete about a year and a half in. And I didn't do terribly on my first one, actually. I went there. I got past day one because it's a three-day event.
Yeah.
And on the night of day one, I got very, very, very drunk. And the next day, I was extremely hungover. And we were running late, me and my friends. So we're in this Uber. And we get to the place, and I'm running as fast as I can to the stage floor, and they're calling me up right as I get there. So my heart's, like, beating really fast, and the music is really loud, and I'm pretty sure, like, Beastie Boys are playing or something. So it's a lot. Then I have to perform against this guy who is, like, a past winner, and I didn't win that round. But it's okay, because my heart hurts ever since. I will say I used to compete a lot, and I would always be like, why do I come here? I'm going to get an ulcer every time I come here. It's a lot of nerves.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
Scrambled.
Yeah.
Scrambled away. That's good. That was a good time, though.
But how do you practice for, like, these comps, like, before? Do you always, like, use espresso at home? Ooh. Or do you have any, like, cool tricks for, like, less waste?
Oh, you want the secret sauce.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the sauce.
Oh, I'm just joking. The secret sauce. It's, so when I practice at home, it depends on what I'm practicing for. But if, let's say, I'm practicing for Coffee Fest, a latte art competition, I will typically buy the coffee that they're going to use, which I'm happy to do because I want to support coffee businesses. And also I want an advantage of getting to pour into the coffee they're going to use at the event, which is always different than the kinds we use in cafes. It's extremely dark, just so you know. And usually very fresh. Yeah, it's quite a polar feeling whenever you're up there and you're like trying to do your rhythm. And the coffee is so dark. It's so foamy that you can't make what you normally do happen, at least with my style. It can be quite challenging. So whenever I'm practicing, I buy the coffee, and I will turn on really, really loud music because they play their music really loud there, and they play a variety of things from Gwen Stefani, Beastie Boys. One time cleaning out my closet was playing while we were competing. It was a lot, but it was good. Energy. and I'll usually mess up my workstation. When I'm drilling with other people and we're practicing, I will intentionally mess up the station in case, like, someone else did. We're doing time trials, so I really want to instill in people who I'm training, or even myself, to ask for a second to clean up and to be ready for the worst-case scenario. And then we time trial, and then we film it so that you can see the exact moments when things happen. say that filming is the best thing you can do if you're trying to practice latte art.
Yeah.
And learn from it. Mm-hmm. Filming up close and personal. But nowadays, I don't practice a lot. Like, I don't go out of my way to pour a lot. But
mm-hmm. That's so cool. That's so much prep and, like theory behind it that you actually, like, look into, which is
yeah, cool. There's a lot of theory.
That's cool.
I choke on theory sometimes. I just consume it so much.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming.
So you've been going after the TikTok and YouTube content. What all you want to do with your platform kind of going forward in the future?
Oh, it's going to change so much. I'm so excited. Yeah. I haven't really been pushing TikTok very much. And lately I've mostly been pushing latte art videos. Mm-hmm. I used to do a lot of my face and do tutorials, and I'm going to be doing more of that as well. But I don't plan for my channel to always be tutorials. And I really enjoy filmmaking of any sort, and I really enjoy just playing with projects and telling stories. So I'm expecting some weird, fun storytelling to happen, centralized maybe around coffee, maybe not. Who knows? Ooh. On tangents. I feel like so long as the effort is strong and the product is good, it's really hard for me to release things that are incomplete. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a lot for a lot of people who are creative. So I would hope that my followers and the people that like my content are okay with inconsistency in lieu of quality, right? So the more, or I guess, replacement with quality. So I put a lot more work into the content. It'll come out eventually. It's unique and different and spicy. Yeah, that's all I gotta say.
Looking forward to it.
It's kind of the rhythm I'm at right now. I mean, also, like on Instagram, I don't know why, but I get a lot more traction when I back off. So, like, if I post something and back off for like 2 weeks, my videos will do better. It also gives me headspace to like think and not be stressed over social media. I don't even look at likes, comments, any of that anymore. I had to turn it off because it's too addicting.
Yeah, I get that too. I think because in terms of like coffee memes that I make, I'll notice that sometimes like if I'm like consistent, it's not as like successful. Like it kind of gets like buried under the algorithm, I guess. But I'm kind of just like a little bit more sporadic, it like tends to do a lot better.
Stands out, and people always tell me to like post every day, and I'm like, no, post like once a week, twice a month, but like make it a good post, and make it something that immediately catches the eye. Like you'll see on my reels, which I've been like really pumping because reels is really doing well right now. It's never the prep of the pour; it's always the beginning of the pour, so it's immediate. You're immediately drawn into what's happening. And it's usually shot nicer. It's funny because sometimes I'll shoot on my phone and I have an old, like, cheap iPhone 7 or something. And those videos will do better. So I have no idea why Instagram does that. But versus, like, a professional shoot. Anyway, rambled on.
Mm. So what is it like? I've always wondered this. Like, I see people like you that are, like, really great at this really niche thing. Like, what is it like when you tell people that maybe are not even remotely interested or involved in coffee that you're like, yeah, I'm a world champ at a latte art. Like, I just always imagine, like, if I told my mom that, she would just be like, what does that even mean?
What does that even mean?
I don't tell people about this. And, like, I was like, oh, yeah, we're having, like, this really cool guest on. And, like, latte art world champ. And they're like, what? How?
Like, yeah, latte art squirrel champion. Just champion of squirrels. Listen. No, I actually usually don't tell people. If they approach me about it, I'm cool about it. But my partner tells everybody, which is so funny, because she'll like start talking about it and I'll walk away. I'll come back and she'll still be talking about it and I'll be like, okay, I'm gonna go away. It's just a funny thing. When I first won, it was an interesting thing because people definitely knew. And sometimes, not all the time, I would walk into a coffee shop and people would know who I was, which is weird. Mm-hmm. It's like teeny tiny, most microscopic version of being known for something.
Yeah.
Like, but nothing too niche. And when I tell people about it, like when it does come up, usually it gauges some interest. It's cool. It's kind of a cool thing. I'm like, yeah, man, I did that in my early mid-20s. Ever. Then people are like, what? And I'm like, yeah, whatever. And like, take the trophy and pick my teeth with it. And like, yeah, it's fine. But awesome. I usually do try to undersell it. Like, when people comment about it, I'm like, that thing, I threw that away a long time ago. That trophy.
Yeah.
On to the next thing.
Which is not true, but it's fun.
I respect it.
Fun to watch reactions.
Yeah.
I know this, like, of course, every person that pours latte art, you're going to have mistakes that you made, but have you ever made, like, a critical mistake under pressure? Like, an actual critical, like, that, boom, that's it. This is a big pressure moment. That's the point of no return mistake.
Fudged it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so many. I've lost more competitions than I've won, if that is a good indicator. But there was one right before COVID, like 3 days before COVID happened. It was Coffee Fest in New York, March 10th through the 13th or something like that. And the city shut down like the 15th. That gives you an indication. Nobody was wearing masks at the time.
Yeah.
People were sharing cigarettes at the time. And then 3 days later, everything shut down. But I was in this competition and I was pouring my drink. I spill on the side where I'm tilting. You know, when you tilt the cup, it spills the top of the beverage. And I don't ever plan for a second pour back then. Nowadays, I do. You can only put down one pour within 2.5 minutes. 2.5 minutes is only enough time to maybe make two pours if you're being quick. So that instance, I didn't have a second cup. I'm spilling my cup, pouring out, and I'm freaking out. And so I get angry. I get angry, and I took my cup and I like threw it in the big bucket of milk. And then I wipe it with a rag that's covered in coffee. So there's a presentation point that I was clearly going to lose. If when you present your coffee, it can't be covered in smudges on the cup, thing on the rim. If there was a spill, you have to wipe it. And I go back for a second drink, and I'm trying to pour this drink. My milk is not right. I'm rushing. And then they start counting down from 10, 9, 8. And I'm, like, trying to just throw layers in there because I'd rather put something down than nothing at this point. And then I just put it down, and it was really, really not pretty. And then I submitted it to the judge, and I walked it over, and I was like, I'm sorry. And put it down. But, you know, I think you have to take L's like that. Like, I think you have to. And it's that kind of stuff that helps you learn, and then you can prep better for the future. So nowadays, like this most recent Coffee Fest, I actually poured a second pour every single round except for one, which I never planned for. But I managed to pour a second pour, and usually the reason I don't like to is because you're nervous already. If you're going back for a second, you're likely you messed up your first. So you're more nervous. You're under more pressure. But this last time I was able to do it. So, you know, you learn and you pick up and you evolve. One time at a coffee fest, I dropped my cup right before I went on and broke it. That was also fun.
Oh, no.
Seen like at some comps, like people like spill the entire milk jug over after and it's like all over the counter. Big messes.
Wow.
No fun.
Any little trigger, like any little loud noise, will like send you into fight or flight, especially when you're in a competition. Mm-hmm. So like just if I like drop the portafilter weird, I always get anxious immediately. But you gotta be careful too.
Well, you've been back since COVID. You've been already back at competition, at least one that I know of.
Yeah.
How eager and excited are you to get back into the scene and things rolling again?
Oh yeah, I'm actually really excited. I'm cautious. Wait, cautious. What's the word I'm looking for?
Cautious.
Yeah, I'm trying to add too many syllables to that. I'm cautious, but excited. I really do hope things take a better turn. I know New York right now, where I live, is done really, really well, and the city is reinforcing mandates, but it's practically a normal city for the most part. Which is really cool, and I know other areas are still struggling, but I'm excited. It was really nice seeing everybody last time, and I'll be honest, we were a little lax, I think, because everyone was vaccinated, with the whole gearing up against things. vibe. So I think that the next one's going to be a little more restricted with, you know, the big D flying around. That was a fun way of describing it. Can we just call the Delta variant the big D from now on? And
that's exactly what's going to be happening.
The big D, So.
Okay, so the big D.
Man, so to kind of wrap things up, for anyone that's maybe someone's listening and they're like, one, like maybe they're like I was, you know, 3-4 years ago, what the heck is a competition? And maybe advice for somebody who's like, how do I get involved in these kind of competitions? How do I, you know, what are your kind of tips for someone wanting to do that, go down that route?
Yeah, first tip is definitely practice, and then sell your soul to the devil. And make sure you record all your pores. And wait, I got to go back a few. Actually, I think that the best way to try to get into a competition, if you're a completely beginner, is get on Instagram right now, because there's a lot of really great latte artists on there. Go to YouTube, look up tutorials, follow people who are big in the hashtag latte art thing. You'll find them. Then also, when you start to learn, record your pores. I was mentioning this earlier, but you should really always record your pores. It's really important to be able to see exactly where a moment happens. And latte art is just a bunch of different epiphanies and moments of understanding, oh, I need the pitcher to be there instead of there. Oh, I held that too long there. Oh, I'm not dropping in correctly, or I'm too far back, or too far forward. And all of that can be preserved in film. So record yourself. I also hate when I see people dump out drinks who are just practicing for some reason, and they just like they pour a bad pour and they immediately dump it out. Learn from every single mistake that you make. So when you're pouring, if you're making mistakes, follow through and finish the pour, and you might learn something new. Also might invent something. So it's really good to not beat yourself up. And then if you want to actually compete, need to submit 5 photos to the Coffee Fest website whenever they're having a competition. There's also other competitions as well. That's just the one that I'm going to recently. And, you know, write up a little quick summary about how long you've been in coffee, why you think you should compete. I always say because it's fun. And most people would put a paragraph. I'm like, because I want to win. No, I'm joking. I don't say that.
I'm a winner.
Sometimes I put, you know why. Why
it's me.
It's just like a text. It's you know, the slow wiggles. But record yourself, consolidate a list of gather a list of good pours, like a bunch of images, and then submit them.
Can I just submit yours in? Like I'll just like send them 5 of yours and say they're
you
mine.
Every other Instagram. Oh, that's like the game right now on Instagram. People love to take images. It's funny.
Yeah, I saw that the other day.
Go crazy. It's funny. The problem with it is that, like, if you engage with them, then the post that they steal goes viral.
Yeah.
Yeah. So every time I've ever reported it, it always goes viral.
Well, Emily, I want to personally say that on behalf of all of us, we're super honored that you would be on our podcast. We get to ask you some questions and hear your thoughts. And we hope and we know that our listeners are really excited to hear from people that don't just have experience being baristas, but people that have great personality and a great love of people and community that are also baristas and competing. And so we're super thankful for you to be on the show and for our listeners. The real deal, Emily Bryant. Check YouTube. I'm looking at the YouTube right now, and I'm already excited to watch the videos and like check it out. But yeah, just look up Emily Bryant on YouTube, and then of course her Instagram, Emstagram, Emstagrim. Check her out.
You gotta
show some love.
Check
and,
me out.
For real, learn. Be a learner. Also, just a great memeing personality, which is literally the socialish barista vibe, is memes.
Oh, yeah.
Really? That's what it's built on.
I'm about it.
And look, here's the deal. Listeners, you're out there and you're listening right now in your car, and you're about to pull up to your destination to get out for your shift maybe in the morning, and you're thinking, you know what I'm going to do before I unlock the door this morning? I'm going to leave a review for that podcast. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to hit the star quality that you feel like best conveys your judgment of podcasts, and maybe leave a little blurb in there for you. But yeah, leave a review, get an enamel pin, put it on your apron, get an enamel pin for a new barista that you like, that you think, you know what, they need an enamel pin from the Socialist Barista. Emily, thank you again, love to have you on the show, and yeah. This is the Socialist Barista Podcast.